Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 110, The Maze Runner. So for this week's episode, I thought I would review a movie I had a chance to see. I didn't go into it like I usually do with a chance to read the novel beforehand. So it's basically a clean slate. I didn't know too much about it aside from what the title implies is that, or kind of what the synopsis and plot talks about as well, in that we have some people trying to escape from a maze, and that's really about it. So with that, I'll jump right into it. Not too much to go through, but overall I thought it was a pretty good movie, so I'll jump right into it. So The Maze Runner released in the United States on September 19th, 2014. No taglines for this particular movie, so I won't try and come up with one, but a brief summary of the movie is that Thomas is deposited in a community of boys after his memory is erased, soon learning they're all trapped in a maze that will require him to join forces with fellow runners for a shot at escape. So essentially that covers a plot of the movie and does not really tease the extent, or not really even mention the extent at which the difficulties that they face and what happens at the end, unless of course you've read the novel. I will say that I am planning on reading the novel when I get a chance to. It's in, or I just need to add it to my queue, but that seems like an interesting enough premise. It is part of a series of novels, and I think they're working on releasing sequels to The Maze Runner, so I want to also get in on those as well. So I'll have a link, as always, to the IMDb profile as well as a Wikipedia page as well. The movie received a Rotten Tomatoes score of 63%, so generally better than average, not overwhelmingly positive or negative, but it was entertaining enough. Not having read the book, I can't say how closely it resembled or stayed true to the novel, but it seemed more entertaining enough than 63%. There were points at which it did seem to get rather slow, but it was generally resolved, and it did seem to play itself out fairly well. So with that, I'll jump into the insight and of course a summary and general review. But to start it off, WCKD could sure use some XKCD. So when I first saw the initials and the alluding to what Wicked actually was, and they seemed like an overly serious group of people or a corporation, so your standard stock evil organization or company, that sort of thing. And basically for the first half of the movie, I kept thinking of it as XKCD, so which doesn't make any sense, but it sort of sat in my mind that they should have had a little bit more humor. And of course the end of the movie and the end reveal showed that they weren't supposedly trying to be as evil of a corporation, even though the extent of what they were doing actually was pretty bad. So XKCD, WCKD granted the comic probably came after that, but it was an interesting play on letters, and I couldn't help but make the connection. But following up, later on we're in the maze and the two runners, Thomas and the guy who's training him, are trying to escape from one of the weird hellspawn creatures, which I will get to in a little bit. But I got to thinking, where's a BFG when you need one? That far into the maze, I figured that the hellspawn cotton ball looking creature was probably just a extended scout. But basically I thought a BFG would have been a useful tool, or at least a really big tool to help them protect themselves. They generally ran the maze without any weapons or anything like that, and they needed to make sure that they got back in time, but it would be useful to always have a backup plan or something to defend themselves at least. But on the note of the hellspawn, how did they put the homing beacon in that doom hellspawn? So it seemed like, based on what we've learned later on in the movie, that the creatures were a creation of the corporation that was testing the kids in the maze. But I got to thinking, at least for the first half, is that when they found that tracker and they were trying to figure out exactly what it did and where it led is how they actually got that, how they were able to incorporate a that machine into a living organism, which I found that they didn't exactly say too much about, but it sort of made sense in the grand scheme of things. It was experiments gone wrong and that sort of thing, so it sort of makes sense, and they were not, and those creatures were not under anyone's control anymore. But by the end of the movie, I actually realized that the movie itself reminded me in spirit of another movie, so I thought that this was Thomas's game. So if you saw Ender's Game or read the novel, you realize that Ender had taken, he was a new person in the group, and he was able to take control and excel because he was that much better. In the case of Ender's Game, he was naturally better than the other students. In the case of the Maze Runner, Thomas actually had taken direct part in creating the maze and getting those kids in there, so he actually had that advantage, and with his memory return, he knew exactly what was going on. So it was essentially his control over their destiny rather than him influencing someone else's destiny. So kind of a minor differentiation, but something he could now control by the end of the movie as well. So to summarize, a movie in a relationship aside from a Star Wars relationship, the movie kind of reminded me of Counter-Strike Maze, which is I don't think is an actual map, but it would be an interesting map in Counter-Strike, in that rather than the traditional terrorist counter-terrorist, we have the maze runners trying to find they found essentially what would be the 7 points in the maze to escape and get themselves out, versus the hellspawn cotton ball creatures who are trying to keep the kids in the maze and in their little home living park area and keep at them. So basically they all respawn at the end of the day, and the next day they start all over. So it's kind of my recollection of how it would work with Counter-Strike. So nothing too particular, but it is an interesting back and forth that they had been doing over the course of as long as they had all been there. So I give the movie a real score of a 95%, mostly because as far as the positives go, the end reveal is something I didn't see coming. It was something I didn't expect. I expected that we would learn why the kids were in the maze, or that they would end up just being another part, or they would continue living in the maze or be done in by it. And it turns out that neither one of those two points, those points happened throughout the movie, but it wasn't the end reveal. I won't exactly spoil what happens, especially if you have not read the book and haven't seen the movie. But if you're going into the movie, the end reveal actually was better than, or something I didn't expect, and something better than I expected that the movie would end with. And then we have the Walking Dead style overview of the city. So we have that kind of post-war apocalyptic kind of panning over the city, and I actually kind of like the view that we get from the helicopter. So it's definitely a plus for me. I liked how that was incorporated in the movie, especially since it ties to what I imagine the sequel to be. So definitely stick around and check that out. I liked it, and it reminded me of Atlanta in The Walking Dead, when we have, especially the throwback to season one, when we have Rick going into the city on horseback in that apocalyptic end of the world style overview of the city they're in. And then I'm not a huge fan of flashbacks, but I'm also kind of indifferent to them at this point. But I like how they tied the flashbacks into the movie. They did it pretty well. They put it in spots that made sense, and they didn't go overboard with it. They had a reason to use them, and they explained it, and they used them after that pretty well. So I actually kind of enjoyed it, and it made the conclusion of the movie very well. So that's really all for that. I didn't have any negatives for the movie. It could get a little bit slow at times, so that's not really a negative, but they were able to keep the general pacing overall, so I actually did like it for the most part. It didn't really take away from the impact of the movie and what the what WCKD was trying to do and what the boys in the maze were trying to do. So it all worked out in the end, and I actually do want to see these sequels if they ever come out as well. So I'll look forward to that and actually probably get around to reading the novels eventually as well. So I do recommend watching it and checking it out. It is a good movie to watch. The graphics were nothing overtly spectacular, but do watch it on DVD or Blu-ray because the size and the angles they pull for the maze while they're in it, while they're doing the panning shots, while they're in the maze, overview of the maze and all of that is definitely worth checking out. So, but that is really all there is for this particular episode of Real Insight. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, if you want to support the show and the network, be sure to visit us or visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/geekio. There's plenty of rewards for donating and all of that good stuff. If you want to remove ads, then that is also a definite plus. And I also want to thank everyone who supported my Amazon author ebooks. I know a few of you have already made your purchases, but if you want to check out Real Insight Years 1 and 2 or my other podcast, This Working Droid or the Android Realm Digest, you can get those as well. Visit author.patelN01.com. I also make note this week, because thanks to everyone's purchases, as far as upcoming reviews, as promised, The Roosevelts and Intimate History, the Ken Burns documentary, will be coming up. I have finished watching all the episodes, so that is on the queue. Also coming up is The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, as well as Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. So those are coming up in the coming weeks. Definitely check that out. Support the network and the show so I can continue helping bringing more reviews on movies and TV shows. And of course, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so they'll match whatever device, smartphone, tablet, MP3 player, whatever you may have. They're also noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to, less of the outside world. So if you're listening to a podcast, watching a movie, TV show, listening to music, whatever, your audio will sound great. And they're very durable, so when you listen to them, or whether you use them at home, at work, at the gym, on your walks, all of the above, they'll be sure to last you. And they have really friendly and responsive customer service, so if you have any questions or concerns, they're always ready and happy to help you out. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's GEEK, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order, so you'll not only save some money but show your support for Real Insight and the Geek.io network of shows. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweaked and use the promo code GEEK at checkout. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But that is all for this particular episode of Real Insight. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.